This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
BLB episode 107. Welcome in. Alongside Toby Altizer, I'm Grant Paulson. First, please subscribe, rate, review, spread the word. Let people know about this podcast. We want to continue to grow it. Let's start with the huge Nationals news of the weekend. I believe we got to tip our cap to Mark Zuckerman of Mass and Sports, who had this first, and then soon enough it was all over the place. Steven Strasburg officially retiring. He and the Nationals struck some type of an agreement to make this official this weekend, although from what I gathered based on my own sourcing, you know, it doesn't sound like the Nats are getting any financial relief or that any kind of payment is going to be lessened in this agreement. I think they just decided to make this official now before the 5-year celebration, when Strasburg was probably not going to be there. And now he very likely can be at Nationals Park when a lot of his teammates come back to celebrate the 2019 World Series. But he is officially retiring. And what we were going to get last year when they initially announced the end of the road for Strasburg, before some turmoil between him and the team, you know, finally came to fruition this weekend. Stras making a statement I'll read in a minute, and then the team also coming out with statements of their own.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing immediately, obviously, we're going to get into his impact and talk about just, you know, some of the favorite memories we have of Stras in a Nationals uniform. But immediately my mind went to, there's a World Series celebration for this team coming up April 19th through the 21st. The Astros are going to be in town. They're holding fireworks on Friday. They're giving away replica rings on Saturday, and they're doing something else on Sunday as well. So it's a big celebration of the 2019 World Series, the 5-year anniversary of sorts. And there was going to be a glaring missing person if they didn't get things figured out, and that was the 2019 World Series MVP, Steven Strasburg. I'm glad they got this done, because that's weekend supposed to be about celebration. And if he wasn't going to be there, then it was just going to be a dark cloud over that whole weekend. Now that's figured out. He's going to be there, I'd assume. And I think it's just going to be a super fun celebration for this team that, frankly, over the last couple of years hasn't had many bright spots. There have been little bits and pieces. And, you know, as much as we talk about the young guys, you know, 2019 was all about wins and losses, and they won the whole thing. And so that's something that's awesome. Now the wins and losses are, you know, if CJ Abrams goes 2-for-4. And so it's just a totally different time in Nationals baseball. But to remember just 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago, when this baseball team was putting on a World Series caliber product, it's going to be cool to see those guys back out there. And the fact that Stras is going to be able to be in attendance and be there, and I don't know if the relationship's been ruined or anything. I don't know. But this is something that I think, Grant, you know, in a few years, 5, 10 years down the road, we'll maybe remember this little saga because, you know, it went on for a couple of months, but this isn't something that I think this is a blip on the radar. I think this is something down the line we're not even necessarily going to remember. And I think that's a good thing because Steven Strasburg should always be remembered for his 14 strikeout debut, for winning the World Series in 2019, being one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. It shouldn't be about contract disputes and everything when we knew he wasn't pitching again. So I'm just glad this is all done. Frankly, I didn't care about the details. It just needed to get figured out, and they did the right thing, both sides, to get this thing figured out before that celebration, April 19th through the 21st.
Yeah, before we get into a little bit more analysis on his retirement and career, I want to read a couple of the statements from both Stras and the Nats. So Strasburg said, "Today I'm announcing my retirement from the game I love. I realized after repeated attempts to return to pitching, injuries no longer allow me to perform at a major league level. As a young kid, all I dreamt about was winning a World Series. Thanks to the many coaches, teammates, and medical staff, my boyhood dream came true in 2019. Despite this being a personal goal of mine, I've come to realize how truly important and special that moment was for so many fans in the DMV. Your unwavering support through all the ups and downs will always mean the world to me. I'd also like to thank the late Ted Lerner and family for giving me the chance to wear the curly W all these years. Although I will always wish there were more games to be pitched, I find comfort knowing I left it all out there for the only team I've known. My family and I are truly fortunate and blessed to have experienced this baseball journey in the nation's capital. As always, go Nats, number 37, Steven Strasburg." I thought that was a really good statement. The only Lerner he mentioned was Ted, which is, you know, not necessarily surprising to me the way things went there at the end, although he did obviously say "and family" there. But Strasburg, a career national, and I think it's important for him to remind everyone, you know, he signed multiple extensions here. You know, he could have left. He didn't. He wanted to be a career national in an era where very few are. I mean, you look at Soto, who's been on three teams, and Bryce Harper, who's in Philadelphia, and Trey Turner, and Max Scherzer's been bouncing around like a pinball since he left here, right? He's going to end up pitching for, I don't know, 5-6 teams in his career. Strauss, only the one team ever. Some of that was injury-related, perhaps, but, you know, what an amazing journey it was for Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, I think it's really cool for the Nationals. You know, this team came back to the district in 2005, and they're going to have two numbers retired of people that never played anywhere else and were probably the two most pivotal people in the franchise's history that only wore Nationals uniforms. Obviously, Ryan Zimmerman, Mr. National, drafted, first Nationals draft pick, comes up and plays in 2005, and we all know the impact he had. And then maybe the most impactful draft pick that this organization has had in Steven Strasburg, he comes up in 2010. That kind of marked the start of the Nationals turning it around and becoming a team that was relevant for more than just, you know, top prospects, but, you know, actually winning baseball games. And then kind of that World Series in 2019 marked kind of the end of that Nationals run through the 2010s. So, you know, Steven Strasburg being a career National, while, you know, it sucks with the contract and all the extra stuff, I do think that is something that's cool for the Nationals, that for an organization that just came back in 2005, they're going to have two guys that are going to be forever Nationals, that if you want to buy a jersey at the team store, you can never go wrong buying number 11 Ryan Zimmerman. You can never go wrong buying number 37 Steven Strasburg, because they never wore another uniform. So I think that's really cool for Nationals fans.
Yeah, well said. The Mark Lerner statement, I'll just read part of it. "On behalf of the Lerner, Cohen, Tannenbaum family, I'd like to thank Steven for all he's done for the Washington Nationals. It was a privilege to watch him grow as a player and a person throughout his illustrious career. No one can dispute the indelible impact he had on our organization. He put us on the map as world champions and changed the face of our franchise. Thank you, Steven, for everything. And congrats on a tremendous career." Mike Rizzo, team president, also said he'd like to congratulate Steven on an incredible career from his major league debut in 2010 through leading us to a title in 2019. "The impact he's had on our club is undeniable. He will go down as one of the best players in Washington Nationals history." His statement continues. For me, if I was to reminisce about Strasburg, and I mean, I could probably, you know, write a 20,000 word story on this, but just kind of jotting some things down and putting a tweet together, I guess for me, it's my own you know, personal experience. Everybody remembers his career through their own lens. But, you know, locally we think of Strauss as DC legend, World Series hero, and he is those things. Nationally, he'll be significant forever because I think he ushered in prospect superstardom. I thought he was the first ever super prospect, right? There were guys before him that were hyped like him, not frequently, but over decades and decades, there were a couple of them. Notably, I could think of Mark Pryor with the Chicago Cubs, but Strauss was the first guy who was truly beloved as a prospect and fixated and obsessed over in an era where we had Twitter, now X, where we had social media, where we had everything videoed, where you get video of every minor league outing, where everyone's live tweeting games. There was a time for a long, long time where really it was just a Baseball America handbook that nerds like me would take to minor league games or minor league broadcasters would have. And other than that, maybe you subscribe to Baseball America's like weekly newspaper publication. You know, right around the Strasburg era in that 08 to 09 time frame, right? You know, when he was at San Diego State, there was an explosion on interest in prospects. More publications came along, more radio shows and podcasts and new media. And because of that, you had an industry that was created with BP and Baseball America and so many other avenues covering prospects. So Strasburg was like the first epic prospect in that realm. And the most revered prospect of an era where it became a big deal. So I remember that. Interviewed him at San Diego State. You know, I remember talking to him about him becoming a mega college star. He showed up on campus. He was, as he said, like a pudgy teenager, and he became, you know, instead of throwing 90 as kind of a portly pitcher, he became a prototype MLB body, throwing 100 miles an hour under Tony Gwynn and his staff at San Diego State. You know, the Nats were lucky enough to get the number one pick. Memory serves, and we could go back and look at this, but I want to say them and maybe the I don't know if it was the Padres, but there was like a rainout, I think, or a game they didn't play with the Padres one of those years. And I think it had to go to percentages to see who was going to have the pick because they only played like 161 games or something like that. But they got the number one pick. Strasburg ends up obviously going 1-1. There was no question. He was Skeens before Skeens in a year where there wasn't, you know, a Dylan Cruz or bats like him. And I remember going to his first start ever. It was in, I think it was April 11th. I looked up today in 2010 in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I was sitting right behind the screen next to two Pirates pitchers, Toby, who were at AA at the time, who both went on to pitch in the big league, specifically Jared Hughes, who had a good career. But Hughes was next to me and a guy named Michael Crotta, and they were both keeping the book that day for the Altoona Curve, and they had their guns on home plate. And after every pitch, I'd say, what was that? And they'd go, slider, change up, and they'd show me the velo, and they were kind of blown away as well. And, you know, I just remember driving to Altoona. I think I stopped at Hooters on the way home and bumped into our buddy, this won't surprise you, Craig Heist, was like in on his way back from Altoona. And me and a buddy from college had made the trip, and we were just raving about what we just seen. And everybody in this place, a few miles from the ballpark, was talking about Strasburg. I still remember that. Then the famous debut, you know, at Nats Park was just so electric. I'll tag you back in because otherwise I'll keep going. But what do you remember about his debut?
Yeah, so it's interesting, GP. So I'll tell you a little bit about that. So, you know, I'm finishing up school. I was 11 years old at the time, if you want to feel old. I was 11 when Strasburg made his debut. But I remember we had bought tickets to this random game. It was going to be June 18th, 2010. It was going to be the Nationals and the White Sox. And back then, you didn't necessarily, there were certain websites you could go to try to figure out who was going to start those games. And I was excited because it looked like Burley might be starting for the White Sox. So I was excited. And then we get this news as school's wrapping up at the end of May, and Steven Strasburg is going to make his debut June 8th. And so that was fantastic. And, you know, I can remember sitting on the couch watching it at home, being excited, being locked in on every pitch, 14 strikeouts, all the jazz. And that was fantastic. I mean, we all remember the debut. But for me, the cool part was we bought tickets in, what, March, early in the year. It was going to be a reward for me and my friend in school finishing up and doing well. And June 18th, 2010, it's Steven Strasburg's third career start. We're sitting front row in left field. It's Steven Strasburg, Gavin Floyd. President Obama is in attendance to see his White Sox plan. And it was electric. The Nationals ended up losing, I believe, in extra innings. But Stras set the record for most strikeouts through his first three career outings. And it was just something where we were on the way out. We stopped at Modell's. My mom bought us both Steven Strasburg t-shirts. We were sitting, like I said, front row in left field. And you just felt the Strasburg mania. And it was so cool to see that. I didn't get to go to the debut, but we all remember that. To me, that third career start, I remember the day like it was yesterday, June 18th, 2010. And just that was the kickstart of what turned out to be this run for the Nationals that ended in a World Series in 2019. And it was so cool to be a part of and to experience. And so, you know, obviously Zim is Mr. National, but you can make the argument that Steven Strasburg is the most important National that's ever played.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Yeah, I think that's the case, and that's kind of where I would go is, so I was a diehard Orioles fan, born and raised a Birds fan, and I remember being in the ballpark that night for his debut, and it was a citywide holiday in a lot of ways. It was a sports holiday. Everybody was getting their first look at this kind of promised savior, and he was symbolic, in my opinion, that day of what was going to be coming down the pipe for the Nationals, who had been terrible. You know, it was this woe-begotten joke of a team that misspelled the name on their jersey. And, you know, when they shot out like burritos or whatever it was that was wrapped in foil, you know, it unraveled and it got all over the fans. And I mean, they were just constantly on the not top 10, right? And me and my buddies who were Orioles fans would kind of laugh and whatever else. But everybody in baseball media was at the ballpark that day. I remember that. From Bob Costas to name your favorite person at MLB Network, right? John Smoltz, I remember sharing an elevator with. Like, it was just like a who's who that day. And it was the first time I could remember all the national TV crews were there. And I worked at 106.7 The Fan as the, at the time, the Redskins beat reporter. But as a big baseball guy, I remember I got sent over in the offseason for the then Redskins still to go broadcast that day from the ballpark and to join our afternoon drive show. And they didn't really do a lot of baseball. And it was certainly very rare that I would be sent as a field reporter to go talk about baseball. I mean, it's not like now that this is like an insane thing, but this was the vibe of the day. Right. And the entire sport descended upon the Navy Yard. It was the first time. There weren't the restaurants and, you know, all the cool things to do by the ballpark yet. And I just remember being there that night. And as a lifelong Orioles fan who had not in any way really taken to the Nationals, they kind of were like, I always say, the Milwaukee Brewers or the Cincinnati Reds. They were just a team. And I was still an AL guy when the difference in the league's rules mattered. So it was just kind of, it was like, yeah, they're in my backyard, but it's just a random team that I watch, just like I would watch, you know, 28, 29 other teams. But that was the first day, honestly, when a dent into my kind of like, what market am I from? What team is my team? Like, that was the first time I ever really had to be introspective, because it was the first time baseball in my hometown felt prideful. And of course, Strasburg was unbelievable. 14 strikeouts, 7 innings, just fooling one veteran after another with unbelievable stuff. I always laugh at how many people now say they were there, right? I mean, I don't know what the attendance was, but if it was 35,000 in a packed ballpark or 40,000, you know, 150,000 people have claimed that they were there. And I've been to, I think, probably every playoff game since 2015 at Nats Park, certainly, and some in 12. And I would guarantee you that the vibes and the energy on Strass night for Strassmas rivals anything that ever happened. And I'll just lastly say about Strasburg, that 2019 run, incredible. I mean, he's one of the best playoff pitchers ever statistically. You know, people forget about him coming in relief for Scherzer in the wild card game when Scherzer was pretty good. I think Strass threw 3 innings that night of like nasty, incredible shutdown baseball against the Brewers, all the way through game 6 against the Astros, you know, which was his masterpiece and his Mona Lisa. He forced a game 7. He was tipping pitches, gave up a couple runs, I think, on a 2-run homer in the first, if memory serves, and then basically pitched a complete game into the 9th after that without really any blemishes against this team that seemed to know what was coming. And, of course, as we would find out later, maybe they did, I guess in air quotes. But just awesome, man. I could go on and on and on. But, look, strange enough kind of peculiar person, I would say. Not personable, not a guy I had much of a relationship with, despite all of my interactions and interviews and time around him in the clubhouse. He was I called him like a baseball robot. He wanted to play baseball, and he didn't want to do all the other stuff necessarily. I got the sense the media stuff was more of an obligation to him or a little bit of work to him, and that's fine. But I do think he had a lot more fun as time went on. I think he enjoyed his teammates and showed a little more personality. You know, everyone always talks about him dancing with Gerardo Parra and Aníbal Sánchez giving him his big hugs and stuff. Like, I think we saw him come out of his shell a little bit over the years. But for me, his legacy is that he made the Nats cool for the first time. After proving to me baseball could work in D.C., he made the Nats cool, then he made them good, and then he won them a championship in kind of in that order. And look, other than Alex Ovechkin, who has made hockey matter in a way that it never had previously, I don't think there's a more important, I'm not saying like better, but there's not been a more important DC sports athlete in my lifetime. I would say Ovi 1 and probably Strasburg 2.
Yeah, I think you nailed that. To me, when I think of Strass, I think it's just so cool because, you know, MLB put out a video today about 14 and a half minutes long of just different highlights from Steven Strasburg's career. And I think to your point earlier, you know, seeing Steven Strasburg retire is, you know, it kind of hits you as a Nationals fan when you see all these various tributes. But the number of tributes from Major League Baseball today that were tweeted out, I think shows the national impact that you were talking about earlier. But seeing the difference in Steven Strasburg throughout his career, and things could have changed and we could have had storylines for years if 2019 didn't happen. I mean, you think back to 2010 and how it was and how he's throwing 100 past guys and he's got a nasty curve. And then you think to what happened in 2019 and he's sitting 94, 95 and he's throwing curveballs in 2-0 counts and he's throwing you changeups in counts that you were expecting a fastball and he turned into a true pitcher. And I think that's the cool part about Steven Strasburg's career, how he went from being just a flamethrower who was throwing 100 when 100 wasn't as popular as it is nowadays. And then he has the surgery and you have the shutdown in 2012 and that could have been a story for years and it was. Every single time the Nationals would come up short in the playoffs, it's like, man, what if in 2012? And then 2019, just for so many different reasons, for that, for the Nationals coming up short all the time, for every single thing, 2019 answered it. And who was in the middle of all of it? It was Steven Strasburg, the guy that was there in 2010 to put them on the map, like you said, to make them cool. And he was there in game six to keep things rolling and give them a chance in game seven. So I just think when you look at Steven Strasburg's career, the thing that really defines it to me is his evolution as a pitcher, how important he was to the Nationals. And just every single time he stepped on the mound in the postseason, you know, we think about Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers, and he's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen in my lifetime. But every single time it feels like he steps on the mound in the postseason, everyone wants to make a joke like he's going to blow it. And yet every single time, no matter what had happened in the regular season for Steven Strasburg, every time he took the ball and stepped on the mound in the playoffs, you felt like you were in a perfect spot as a Nationals fan because you had trust in 37 on the mound. And I think that shows you how impactful he was. And for him to cap it off in 2019 with the run that he had in that postseason, culminated with a fantastic game six after, like you said, he was tipping pitches. And people I've heard before say he was tipping pitches all postseason, but they still couldn't do anything about it because he was that good. So just to have him be a forever National, to have them fix all this stuff, and for us to be able to give him his flowers that he rightly deserves, I think is so cool. And I mean, we knew this was coming, Grant. We obviously talked about it something last year. We expected the retirement ceremony last year. That didn't happen, that whole fiasco. You know, hopefully we can just move past all of that. But it kind of hit me today, Grant, like seeing all the tributes from, you know, the notes from Lerner and the note from Mike Rizzo to Strauss himself acknowledging it, to Major League Baseball putting out videos. You know, if you sit there and watch it and you've been a diehard Nationals fan, it almost brought a tear to your eye because it just felt like the end of that whole era. You know, Soto's moved on, Scherzer's moved on. But now finally seeing the culmination of all of this and Strasburg officially retiring, I'm excited for when he's able to return to Nats Park and get the ovation because he rightly deserves it.
Yeah, the 2019 run, by the way, statistically, 5-0 in the playoffs, 36 and a third innings, 47 strikeouts, a 1.98 ERA, and a 0.94 whip. While winning World Series MVP. I mean, legitimately one of the most iconic stretches in history. By the way, and this is completely random, but sitting here in my basement next to me as we're doing this, I've got a bobblehead of Strasburg. It says MVP, and it's, I guess this is the World Series because it says 2.51, 14 strikeouts, 2 wins. So this is a World Series MVP bobblehead of Strasburg that just so happens to be sitting a couple feet away from me as we're doing this. He is he's everywhere, all over our lives as Nats fans for sure. But yeah, I think that's the big deal here is that they cleaned up whatever was going on enough that at least he can, you know, he'll come home and presumably now they'll have a ceremony. And most importantly, he'll be there in 19 when they honor that team. And I can't wait to be at the ballpark. I can't wait to be at Nats Park to see the ovation. I mean, I don't know if you were there. You went to every game on the homestand, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, Toby Altizer, six games, six appearances, went to every game on the first homestand. Now you're on pace for 81. You got to keep up your pace here, bro.
We'll try.
Don't sleep. But, you know, Michael Taylor got a massive hero's welcome, like an unbelievable ovation. And well-deserved, and I felt good about the fan base, and it was just a cool moment where I don't think he even knew what was coming, but he had to kind of step out of the batter's box and kind of lift his helmet and say, you know, thanks and salute the crowd. I mean, if with all due respect to Michael Taylor, if he got that, than Steven Strasburg. I mean, people should just all be getting naked and running out on the field or something. Like, I don't know how we go from the lengthy ovation for Michael A. Taylor. Like, on that scale, what do you do for Strass? Everyone, you know, we line up 40,000 strong and present him with a gift at his feet. I mean, I really don't know, but it's going to be awesome to have him back in the yard. And it looked like that wasn't going to happen. So this is a big deal for that reason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.